This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Well, I got to roll this out for you, ladies and gentlemen. You know it, our friends from the Tripping on Air podcast, they're really into the holiday spirit. They're giving away a ton of prizes as part of the 2022 MS Holiday Gift Guide. Go to ami.ca/TOA contest to review that list of prizes and enter for your chance to win. The contest closes tonight at 11:59 p.m. 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. It is done. So get to it, folks. Please, one set of entries per day. So today, just do it once, but get in there and get it done. Winners will be contacted via email and listed on the Tripping on Air Instagram page. Ramya Amadhin, Kelly McDonald, wishing you the best of luck there at that contest. And I'm at the home studio, London, Ontario. She's at the home studio in Toronto.
Well, we've talked about movies and holiday TV programming to keep us occupied during the holidays, but how about some other kinds of audio entertainment? We talk audio entertainment and tech with Mike Fair on Thursdays, and today let's talk about taking a trip to England in 1985. You can play as Chief Inspector Alex Wells in a debut interactive audio game from a brand new developer. And this is very, very exciting. So, Mike, you're going to give us your review of Evidence 111. Is it 111, 111, 111?
Evidence 111.
111. Okay.
So my first kick at it today was the right one.
In the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how'd you hear about the game? And we have something to do with this a little bit at AMI.
Yes, you did. I didn't know about this one until you brought it to my attention, Ramya. You sent me, I guess they reached out to you. And that shows a distinct awareness that is all too lacking in the game development community. You know, this is a small company. It's terrific that they knew enough to reach out to you. And then after I heard from you about it, I looked into it. And of course, they had contacted Applevis and other places as well, and had really done a considerable amount of work spreading the game. And they knew where to, you know, to touch base with people to really get people energized and talking about it before they released it. So that hats off to them, whoever's helping them with that, or if they're doing it themselves as they're working on the game. I can only imagine the level of stress involved in finishing one of those things off.
But it's
wonderful that they've done this.
Yeah, and getting it publicized out there, just trying to know where to go, really, really wonderful to them, too, for having some ideas of, hey, we could go here, we could go there. So, Mike, talk about these folks. What do we know about the company behind this game?
Yeah, it's called Play By Ears. It's a small company from the Czech Republic, and one of them is a sound designer, and he has experience working in movies. He's worked on some popular movies and wanted to create a branching audio story. And so this was, it looks like kind of his idea, and then the company got behind it, and they got actors involved and really were able to tap into some top talent to pull this off. So it's amazing what they've been able to put together with a small team. Another one of them composed the music and then sourced music from other artists as well. So you hear some songs during the presentation of the game, and it's a really well packaged, well put together.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it sounds really cool that they would dedicate so much of their time and effort and resources into something like this. What's this story about in this audio game?
So this game, you are Inspector Alice Wells. She is in 1985 when the game begins. She gets a call, a mysterious call about an incident. She was involved 10 years earlier in an incident where, and you sort of go through this in the tutorial of the game, where a 10-year-old child unfortunately loses her life as a result of a police chase. And she's that mistake has been hanging over her head for years and never really quite come to light. And she gets a phone call in as the game begins in 1985. And it's from someone who clearly knows more than anyone should about this incident in the past. And to avoid any unpleasantness, he is instructed to come to this hotel, sort of out of the way on an island in England. So she sets off, and the game takes place at this hotel, where she has to try and figure out, okay, how do I head off? You know, obviously this could end her career if she handles it badly, and things come to light, and to the right people. So she wants this to go away, but she's got a splitting headache. She's got the blackmail kind of looks like it's happening. And then a boy goes missing and in the hotel, and there's this hysterical mom frantically looking for her missing child. And, you know, she, of course, can't just sit idly by. She has to step in and solve this case as well. So it's all about the choices she makes as she wrestles with, you know, how do I stay out of the limelight? And then how can I, you know, make everything end as well for everybody involved as possible? And who is doing this to me and why, right? In terms of the blackmail, right? Because she's got that personal matter to solve. You know, why is this happening to her? And is this all a coincidence or is it all related? So lots of questions and a really good cast of characters and suspects, you know, in this hotel on this isolated island. So
excellent.
Very, very well put together.
Yeah. So how do the players interact with the game then?
Well, the controls are really simple. You don't need voiceover, so you can turn that off as you begin the game. And you can flick up with one finger in the main menu to activate visually impaired help mode. And the game will then just talk all the way through. There are recorded voice prompts and menu options and things all the way through. So you swipe up with two fingers if you want to access the help to hear the options, how to control things. You pause by swiping down with two fingers. You can skip scenes you've already heard by clicking right with two fingers and have a segment repeated by swiping left with two fingers. And to make choices in the game, when you're given options, you swipe right for the first one, down for the, or left, right for the first, left for the second, down for the third, when there are three. Sometimes there are three options. Other times it'll just be two. And you do that with one finger for those swipes. So the controls are really, really easy and very easy to master. And the game was made from the word go, right from the start, to be accessible to blind people as well as for sighted people. It was made for everybody, not just blind people. So they say, you know, give your eyes a rest. All that sighted people would see are very simple controls. So they don't get any advantage from looking. And so we're all on an even playing field.
I mean, it's really, it does sound like they've made it as intuitive as possible without having to use all the things that you're used to, you know, screen readers and swiping gestures and all that stuff otherwise. And I appreciate hearing that aspect of it. How long does it take to actually play the game?
Well, it basically runs about an hour per play through. And there are 10 different endings to this story, depending on your choices going through the game. It keeps track and you will get, you know, if you make different choices, you will lead to a different ending. So I've played it about three times. So about less than 3 hours, I guess, in that range, because you can skip. If you've heard dialogue before, you use that two finger swipe right to skip a scene and get right to the next choice point. So, you know, most players, I would say, will get at least, you know, a good 3 hours, possibly as many as five, if you really pursue a lot of the different endings. I don't know that anyone's going to have, you know, it wears thin after a while because you're going over so much of the same ground for chunks of the game. So, but you probably could, you know, play it, you know, four times and, you know, have enough different things happen to maintain engagement, maintain interest.
Okay, man. All right. It's interesting, that's for sure. And yeah, I think those are the things kind of you watch out for when you're getting into something like this. But okay. How was the Sound of Music?
Sound of Music were top notch. These people know what they're doing in terms of that. And both the sound was real binaural audio. So you get that surround effect where it goes, you want to play this game wearing earbuds or headphones because it makes full use of that. The storm sounds are particularly noteworthy, but everything, when they move around the rooms, when they open doors, anything like that, you know, when you hear things behind doors that are closed, right, it all sounds like it sounds natural, like you're standing there listening. So they really, really good job with that. Music kind of heightens the mood. They have cues sort of in the game, like a movie would, so you get that sense of suspense mounting, and you know, especially when you're dealing with the possibility that the hotel might be haunted and so forth. So a lot of really good sound work and music.
Yeah. And how about the acting? We had to follow up about that too.
Absolutely. The acting is top notch. Again, they had Zoe Robbins, who was in, she was Alice Wells, the lead character, and she was in the Shannara Chronicles as well as Wheel of Time. So a couple of big series on streaming that you might have heard over the pandemic. You might hear familiar voices. Rosamund Pike. Is another popular actor that got involved. Like a lot of that happened because they were approaching this with accessibility in mind, actually. Apparently the actors really clued in on that, and they were able to attract really, you know, talent who went well above what they had to. And so they did wonderful performances there. Those two really stole the show. But then you have the actor who played the chef, Mr. Rogers, who I thought was just brilliant, too. I can't remember his name, but he did a really good job. So listen out for him, the angry chef. you'll have a good laugh at him. So a lot of good acting there. And they all took their parts seriously. And just a really smoothly delivered game. There were no little glitches or anything like that. It was very, very well put together on those terms.
And then background with all that 80s music, I'm sure it gives you that nice feel for it.
Yes, exactly. Yep, you really do get that sense of location and where you are. And the music never trumps story or sound. It's just there when it needs to be. So yes. Very well mixed and balanced.
That's the decade where mainly music, pop, and whatever top hits were really mixed into a lot of TV shows. So I'm sure it'll give you that feel that way, Michael. Was the game worth the price?
I would say, you know, go in with the right expectations. This is an interactive movie. Okay, so if you go in with that mindset, it's about $4.99 US or the equivalent. So I paid about $6.99 for my copy. And it's like you'd pay for like renting a movie. See, I would say you're getting the same amount of entertainment in a totally accessible, audible way that is interactive. So if you think about it that way, I'd say yes. Now, if you're as jaded as someone like me who's played everything under the sun, you might wish that they had put more, like the game, that's the only thing in the game is making choices. There's no other elements, no inventory management, no combat, no puzzle solving, really, anything like that. So in that sense, you play through it a few times, you get to the endings that you really care about, and you get to that point of saturation where there's really no point in playing it again. So it wears thin after a while, but your first at least couple of experiences are going to be really, you know, top notch in terms of just the presentation and the sound. So if you like mm-hmm. a good police procedural, you're going to like this game.
I really like that way of thinking about it, Mike, as something you would pay for in another sense and then putting that money towards this kind of audio entertainment, especially for the kind of work that they've put into it. Mike, thanks for featuring it. Awesome review.
Absolutely. It was a fun thing to review and certainly pass some time over the weekend, that's for sure.
Definitely. We'll see if he tries all 10 endings, though. Mike Fair joining us on Thursdays for Audio Entertainment and Tech Highlights. That was Evidence 111.
Up next, folks, Fern Lullum shares the story of John McFall, a man whose ambitions are out of this world. We'll find out how and in what way in 2 minutes.
Join Join us weekly for The Pulse with host Joita Gupta, who brings us closer to issues impacting the disability community across Canada. Watch The Pulse on YouTube or listen wherever you download your AMI podcasts.